So is Jesus telling us not to wash our hands? No, Father. Jesus is not telling us not to wash our hands. But what he is saying, he is making a point about the heart of these scribes and Pharisees that are in judgment over his disciples. I would imagine that many of these traditions that they are observing, the tradition of the elders, probably came from when their time in exile, don't you think? In which having to go and buy stuff from the market meant being around those who were not Jews. These things of traditionally washing this and washing that and doing these things is then carried on as traditions. It's known that, you know, the washing of the hand, right? Well, how far do you wash to wash your hand? So some nurses out here, they're like, well, if you're going to do it right, this is what you have to do, right? So is this your hand here? Well, if I want to make sure that I follow that tradition, I wash my hands, I'll maybe wash to the midpoint of my arm to make sure that I'm washing my hand, right? Kind of setting that boundary outside a little further just to make it so that I don't not wash my hand. Well, to make sure that I don't do that, maybe I should just wash to my elbow, right? I get some head nods from the nurses. Yeah, wash all the way to your elbow, and then make sure you wash your hands. These things grow, my brothers and sisters. And often the command of God that was originally at the core that invited us to conversion and transformation is lost. Jesus points that out today in the gospel. He's not talking about the hand washing. He's talking about something else. He's talking about the command of God to honor your father and your mother. And yet there's this tradition that it goes around in the scribes and Pharisees where they can dedicate and consecrate their wealth to God. And then therefore, oh, well, they can't do anything more. There's a joke. I don't have time to tell it, but it's like the rich guy that gave money to a doctor, a lawyer, and a priest and said, you need to throw this money in the coffin with me when they bury me. And so they take the money and two of them confess to having taken out money. And the lawyer just is so bent out of shape at them for having done that. He's like, how dare you do that? This was his dying request. I will have you know that my certified check is for the full amount is in that coffin with him. Check that will never be cashed is there in the coffin with him. It's this legal game, my brothers and sisters, that we can often play. And when your faith and the laws of your nation and country are one, we can begin to try and manipulate or to make our way around the laws. It didn't really break the law. I just didn't really fulfill it. This mentality, I've talked about this before, where people will come up to me after church and say, Father, how late can I show up for church and still fulfill my obligation? How soon can I leave and fulfill my obligation? And I'm just like, you're asking the wrong question. Like the Mass is given to you for you to be fed, for you to be drawn close, for you to be renewed in life, for you to be able to make a gift of yourself through him, with him, and in him to the Father. And you're asking me how late I can show up and how early I can leave to fulfill the obligation? You're missing the point. Missing the invitation. So it's not just us looking back at these people and going, condemning them. We can fall into that same trap of legalism in our own Catholic faith. I mean, I've had to argue with people in the confessional who confess missing daily Mass. So, okay, missing daily Mass is not a sin. You're not obliged to go to daily Mass. Yes, but I often go to daily Mass, and so I feel guilty about not going, and so I'm here to confess it. And I'm like, your conscience is broken. It is in error. You are making something a sin that is not a sin. I know, but I still feel bad. I don't care if you feel bad. It's not a sin. Making your own personal tradition into something then. So, we have a lot of examples. My brothers and sisters, the invitation for life and love in relationship with Jesus Christ and in the church is exactly that. It is an invitation for life and love. It is not a checklist. And if you limit your response to the good news and limit your response to the prompting of the Holy Spirit to simply not killing anybody today, anybody kill anybody today? Show of hands. No? Good for you. Congratulations. But there's something so much more to the invitation of being made a new creation in Jesus Christ than simply not killing someone today. Do you understand? And so the gift of the Spirit being given to us, the fulfillment of all grace, that we would be prompted not just to avoid that which is wrong, but invited to do the good. And not try and legal our way out of things. Last point I'll make. My father shared this story with me. At one point, he was very angry about one of his daughters. She was sick. He was tired. It was late at night. She wouldn't sleep. All of these things. He was very angry. And he said something that he shouldn't have said. And Jesus showed up and looked at him and said, "You don't deserve this child." And my father's witness to this is, in that moment, all I could say was, "Yes, you are absolutely right." He said, in that moment, there was no weaseling out of it. There was no like, "Well, I'm tired and this baby is sick and it's being obnoxious and it's not sleeping, it's not doing all that." He said, there was absolutely no excuse when you stood face to face with love, mercy, and truth. When it was looking straight at you, all you could do was come into agreement with him. Because everything in your being knew what he said was true. So I say that because, my brothers and sisters, when we stand before Jesus, we're not going to have our lawyer with us. The whole point is not to try and prove and demonstrate and argue our way into heaven. It's an invitation for us to live a new life in Jesus Christ. We want to be in that truth, to be made true, to live in that truth as beloved sons and daughters. Amen.